The Fallen Princess, a Gareth and Gwen medieval mystery. Written by Sarah Woodbury. Narrated by Laurel Schroeder. Chapter 1. October 1144. Gwen.
This won't be a pleasant sight, my lady.
Rodri helped Gwen dismount. He'd come to Eber Castle to find Gareth, but Gwen's husband had risen from his bed long before dawn, leaving to ride with Prince Howell and his men on patrol.
It never is, Gwen said.
Rodri set her gently on the soft sand, its usual yellowish-brown color turned to gray in the pre-dawn light. The cart intended for carrying away the body rumbled to a halt behind them, and another soldier, Dowie, jumped off the seat, leaving the stable boy who'd been driving the cart to wait with it and hold the horse's head. The tense expression in Rodri's face didn't ease, so Gwen added,
I'm well, Rodri, truly.
Many women struggled with their health during pregnancy, but other than an annoyingly strong sense of smell, Gwen hadn't had any difficulties so far, beyond a few unpleasant mornings, particularly in the beginning, and an increased need for sleep. Even at this late stage, with the baby due at the end of January, some people still didn't notice right off that she was carrying a child. While the men shooed away the crowd of onlookers, Gwen circled the body, trying to disturb the scene as little as possible. She considered the corpse from all angles, though as it was well wrapped in a cloak, there wasn't much to see. From the closeness of the weave, the cloak had once been very fine. It was dirty now, of a color that she thought should have been blue. The hood half covered the face, implying that one of the onlookers had drawn it back, and then, when death had been definitively determined, hastily thrown it over the face again. Gwen braced herself for the need to see who this was, and bent to lift away the cloth. At the grotesque appearance of the face, Gwen's breath caught in her throat. Then a hand touched her shoulder, and she jumped a foot.
By all that is holy! I'm sorry,
Shayla said.
I didn't mean to startle you.
Gwen let out a burst of air.
What are you doing here? Is Dai here too?
He's a lazabout, Shayla said,
answering her second question first.
I came for the clams. Are you all right?
Why does everyone think I'm not well? I've seen dead people before.
Shayla frowned, staring past her to the body.
Not like this one, I don't think.
Gwen deliberately hadn't looked again at the dead woman's face. Instead, she gestured towards a group of children looking anxiously in their direction.
They shouldn't be here.
They're the ones who found her, Shayla said.
Gwen inspected her young charge. Having grown 4 inches since he'd come to live with them, he loomed over her, far taller now than she was.
12 years old, going on 20,
as Gareth had said privately to her more than once. Upon the death of his father, Shayla had needed to grow up quickly in order to care for his younger brother, Dai. Gareth had discovered both boys in an English monastery last May and taken them under his wing. The boys had spent most of the summer with Gwen on Anglesey, while Gareth was in Cered y Gion serving Prince Howell. But they had all gathered at Eber this week to celebrate Colin Gaev, what the church called All Saints' Day. It was the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter. In the traditions of her people, at this time of year the veil between the next world and this one thinned. Tomorrow night, Nos Galen Gaev, or Hallowmas, the spirits of those who died would walk the earth. Gwen shivered to think that this poor soul could be among them.
Since you're here, you might as well help, Gwen said. The children will talk to you. Find out what they know while I see who this is.
You can tell it was once a woman, Shayla said, with all the morbid fascination of the young.
Gwen waved her hand at him.
Off you go.
Asking Shayla to help her might turn out to be the worst idea she'd had this month, but since he was here, it was better to keep him busy. Gwen turned back to the body, no longer able to avoid looking at it. As Shayla had said, it was that of a woman, but beyond this simple observance, Gwen didn't know that she'd ever seen a stranger circumstance. For starters, the woman's body wasn't bloated with water like it should have been had she drowned. Instead, her skin was dried out, leathery and brown like an old apple, more bones than flesh, though flesh still adhered to the bone. The woman could have been dead for months, if not years. The cloak that wrapped her wasn't wet either,
which Gwen would have noticed earlier if she hadn't been so distracted. On the ride to the beach, Gwen had conceived two scenarios that would have put the body here this morning. One would have been drowning, though the sea had been calm last night, despite 3 weeks of solid rain. The second, and more complicated possibility, had been that the body had been buried in the sand somewhere, a dune or a cliff face near the water's edge. And over time, wind and tide had worn away the sand that covered her grave, until it was fully exposed, and the body fell into the sea. In that case, the body could have washed up here because of the way the water moved in and out of the Menai Strait. Both possibilities would have involved a recent death, because that was the only way the body would have remained intact enough to wash up on the beach in the first place. And if the body had washed up on the beach, even many hours ago, it would have been wet from head to toe. That wasn't the case, which meant that someone had placed it here. With these thoughts spinning in her head, Gwen put her hand flat on what remained of the woman's belly. The fabric of her dress was damp, like laundry left out on the line all night, but it wasn't sopping. Gwen looked up, meeting the eyes of several villagers, who gazed at her with expressions ranging from curious to revolted to worried. She herself was among the worried. She didn't know who this was, but she knew nobody was going to be happy when she discovered the woman's name. Somewhere, sometime, someone had lost a daughter. It would be Gwen's task, and Gareth's and Howell's, to find out who that was. "Who found her?" she said. Shayla lifted a hand to gain Gwen's attention and brought the group of children closer.
"They did, all together."
"Did you touch her?" Gwen studied the children's faces as they shook their heads vehemently in turn. She ended up looking intently at a medium-sized boy of about 9, with a mop of dark hair and dark eyes.
"No, my lady."
He shook his head, too. Gwen looked sideways at him. "Not even a little."
"It was I who pulled back her hood, Lady Gwen."
A burly villager stepped forward.
"Once I saw that she was dead, long dead from the looks, I went to find Rodri there."
He gestured to where Rodri guarded the pathway between the body and the cart. If he'd come to the same conclusion Gwen had, that the woman hadn't drowned, he'd realized that it was along that trajectory that evidence, if there was any evidence, would be found. All of the men-at-arms at Eber, whether they served Prince Howell, his brother Rin, or King Owain, knew from experience that Gareth would want to inspect the entire area personally, and would be displeased if it had been marred by the curious and the careless. Beyond Rodri, Dewey had gone back to the cart and was talking to someone, though since the man had his back to her, Gwen couldn't tell who it was. She glanced up at the sky. The sun was coming up over the hills to the southeast, revealing a cloudless sky, unusual for so late in October. A warm breeze was blowing into her face from the south. She'd woken to dozens of mornings like this on Anglesey over the summer, and for a moment she wished that she was back at her little cottage, wiggling her bare toes in the warm sand, instead of on this windswept beach, crouching over a dead body.
"When is low tide, Shayla?"
"Just now, Ma," Shayla said. "That's why we all came down here this morning. After the rain we've had, we were looking forward to a good haul of clams."
Gwen focused on the damp sand around the body. The high tide mark was another 10 feet farther up the beach, beyond where the woman lay, which meant that she'd been laid down on this beach sometime after midnight. Otherwise, she would have been washed away with the tide. That led Gwen to conclude, though Howell would say it was far too soon to conclude anything, that whoever had laid her here had wanted her to be found. Otherwise, he should have left her where he found her, wherever that was, or put her closer to the water's edge so the tide could have taken her out to sea.
"Can we move her now?"
Gwen looked up and struggled not to let dismay show on her face. Ava, the commander of one of King Owain's companies, had arrived at Gwen's side with Dewey in tow. Ava bent over the body, his hands on his knees. Dewey wore a look of revulsion on his face.
"I'm sorry, sir, but we really can't," Gwen said.
"Why not?"
Ava said.
"Because she didn't drown."
"What do you mean?"
Ava said.
"Sailors and fishermen often wash up on our shore when they don't end up on the Great Ulm."
Ava was right. The villagers knew to come to the beach after a storm to look for valuable items they could salvage from boats lost at sea, even if they had come for clams today.
"The body is barely damp, Ava,"
Gwen said, as gently as she could.
Atha pressed his lips together.
Gwen didn't know either man well, but while Dewi seemed something of a simpleton, Atha was far from stupid, even if he annoyed her by being pompous and overbearing. It should have been clear to an experienced man such as he that the woman had been dead long before today, but he was also a stubborn man with fixed opinions. Gwen encountered men like him all the time. They were older, set in their ways, and did not welcome the notion that a young woman might have anything to contribute to a murder investigation.
Perhaps while we wait for Gareth to arrive, Dewi and Rodri could survey the beach?
Gwen gestured to the area around the body.
I know that we've disturbed the sand with our footprints, but they could look for tracks from a cart, or from a man walking as if he was carrying something.
Huh?
On his shoulder. Given how dried out the body is, she wouldn't have been very heavy for a grown man, but his boots should have sunk deeper into the sand than if he carried nothing.
Atha raised his eyebrows. Sir Gareth would want the body removed from the beach first.
Gwen just managed not to grind her teeth. She'd given him a long speech, and was trying to be as polite as she could.
My husband, and Prince Howell, of course, will be very grateful to you when they return, for moving the investigation forward in their absence. I'm sure they will personally want to hear from you whatever you discover.
She gave him her sweetest smile, and tried to keep her expression as sincere as possible. Atha's chin still stuck out stubbornly, but as Gwen had hoped, he grunted his consent. It was unlikely that Atha would tell her anything of what he found, now that she'd wounded his pride, but Gareth would tell her what Atha had to say as soon as he heard it. There was only so much she could do here all by herself, and she did need Atha's help. Atha motioned for Rodri to join him and Dewi, and Gwen went back to studying the body, finding it hard to reconcile its condition to its presence on the beach. She fingered the cloth of the woman's dress, blue like the cloak, with a close weave that was still fine to Gwen's touch. It was embroidered at the bodice and had a full skirt, the hem of which would have trailed behind the woman as she walked. Her linen shift and underdress were also embroidered. Even without the garnet ring strung on a gold chain around the woman's neck, Gwen would have known by her clothing alone that this was no serving girl. She'd been noble, or at the very least, had dressed like it. Whoever had left her on the beach hadn't just dumped her here either. He'd arranged the woman's long braid of reddish-brown hair so that it trailed down her right shoulder past her hip. In Wales, girls trimmed their hair until they reached womanhood, keeping it shoulder-length and easier to care for, after which they never cut it again. Comparing this woman's braid to Gwen's own, and taking into account that not every woman's hair grew at the same rate, the dead woman had been at least 5 years past womanhood when she died. A dirty band of fabric that might once have been white was tied around her head. A dark patch on it, dried, of course, had Gwen carefully unwinding the cloth, tugging on it to unstick it from the right side of the woman's head, and knowing before she saw the mat of blood in the woman's hair that someone had to have hit her very hard to cause the wound. The same dark stains, that Gwen guessed were blood instead of mud or the decay of time, marred her dress at the right shoulder, too. Gwen gently worked her fingers underneath the matted hair and found the wound. As Gwen traced the edges of shattered bone, she came upon an abrupt indentation in the center of the wound, as if a sharp point had been driven into the bone. Gwen sat back. Trying to gain control of her thoughts, she blocked out the image of the woman as she was now, in order to take stock of what the girl had once been. She was more than 18 years old, possibly noble, and had been dead for years. Gwen ran her thumb along the woman's slender wrist. The flesh still adhered to the bones, and like the rest of her arm, wasn't a uniform medium brown. The skin was mottled all along the arm, darker in some places than others, but a thin band of darker skin went around each wrist. Given the unusual state of decomposition, Gwen didn't want to speculate if these were bruises or a natural result of the desiccation of the body. Gwen had never seen a body like this one, so she honestly didn't know what was normal in such a case. Other than the head wound, of course, which clearly wasn't. For the first time in months, Gwen felt her stomach rebelling. She swallowed down the bile at the back of her throat, grateful now that Rodri had woken her from a deep sleep, and she hadn't had the opportunity to eat anything before she rode to the beach.
Gwen!
She looked up at the sound of her husband's voice. Gareth had appeared in the gap between two dunes, accompanied by Prince Howell and 10 other men. Gwen had drowsily kissed Gareth goodbye before he'd ridden out of Aber Castle with Howell. At the sight of him now, her spirits lifted, alleviating some of the sickness in her stomach. Gareth and the other men reined in and dismounted, near where Gwen had left her horse and the cart had been parked. Gwen's pleasure faded, however, as Atha stepped in front of Howell, talking quickly. They were too far away for Gwen to make out Atha's words, and apparently Gareth wasn't interested in hearing what Atha had to say, because he strode past him, crossing the last few yards of sand to where Gwen waited. He was careful, as Gwen had been, to take a circuitous route so as not to disturb the already churned-up sand more than he had to. Gwen rose awkwardly to her feet and gestured to the body in the sand. "As you can see, we have some trouble here." Gareth slipped an arm around her waist, holding Gwen close for a moment while she pressed her cheek to his chest. To Gwen's dismay, tears pricked at the back of her eyes, and she shook her head to stop them from falling, determined not to lose her composure just because Gareth had arrived and she no longer needed to keep it. "Are you all right?" He kissed her temple. "I have lost count of the number of people who have asked me that this morning," Gwen said. That wasn't entirely true. In fact, she'd kept a careful count. Gareth was the third. "You didn't answer my question," Gareth said. But he must have decided that if she could talk back to him, she really was fine, because he released her and crouched in Gwen's place beside the dead woman. While Gwen related what she discovered so far, Gareth went over the body as she had. Howell, on the other hand, once he dismissed Atha, stood chewing on his lower lip, his arms folded across his chest, and every line of his body revealing his tension and unhappiness. Gwen had assumed that the strange state of the body and the length of time since her death would make it difficult to identify the woman quickly, but the prince's expression said otherwise. "Do you know her?" Gwen said. Howell breathed deeply.
"I don't want to. I shouldn't be able to."
Gareth looked up from his examination.
"My lord?"
Howell didn't answer. He seemed to be struggling with himself somehow. Gwen stepped closer, looking at him with some concern.
"Whoever she is, we're here to help, like we always are."
"After all these years, I can't believe she's dead."
Howell scrubbed at his hair with one hand, his gaze never leaving the body.
"Who's dead, my lord?"
Gareth said.
"My cousin, Tegwin," Howell said.